Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, we're glad you tuned in today to the Wise and the Wonderful. That's who we are. We're prayerful. We're praying. We're faithful. And so thanks for tuning in. You can tune in like every day of the week, though. Pastor Doug has devotionals every day and sermon on Sunday, the whole service on Sunday. We've got Truth Seekers on Tuesday night, and you can also watch some of those things. They're all recorded, so if you don't get it live, you can get it recorded. So today we have what's called the Fun and Games. So we've also got a teaching, but we're going to, instead of music today, we're going to do some fun and games. So what we're going to start off with is trivia. So we'll give you a chance. I'll read the question, and you have a chance to get your answer in your own mind, and then I'll give you the answer that's the true answer. So here we go. Y'all ready for this, everybody? All right. What famous document begins, "When in the course of human events"? The Declaration of Independence. What current branch of the U.S. military was a corps of only 50 soldiers when World War I broke out? Did you get it? The Air Force. What game was created by French mathematician Blaise Pascal, which he discovered when doing experiments in perpetual motion? I don't think anybody's going to get this one. Roulette. Who said, "I'm the President of the United States and I'm not going to eat any more broccoli"? You know that one? Everybody knows it? Yep, you got it. George Bush. Oh, wait a minute. I've got to... doing this off my computer here. What so-called war spawned the dueling slogans "Better Dead Than Red" and "Better Red Than Dead" in the 1950s? Anybody here? Everybody knows it. The Cold War. What president was shot while walking to California Governor Jerry Brown's office? Time's up. Gerald Ford. Now let me go down a little bit more. I hope you're having fun at this, or do y'all want me to quit? Keep going? Okay, here we go. What is the only domesticated animal not mentioned in the Bible? Oh. Got it? The cat. What word appears exactly 773,692 times in the King James Bible? Well, if anybody said amen, you got it right. This is so much fun because I've got all the answers here. So what follows Mass, talking about Catholic, what follows Mass as the most popular activity in the Catholic churches? Bingo. Wait a second. Yeah, I had another good, there we go. There you go. There's a reaction. So what symbol did St. Patrick use to explain his theory of Holy Trinity? I didn't know this. The shamrock. And what name has been shared by most popes? John. What former church lady, or I'll give you a little tip, what former TV church lady got $75,000 to let A Current Affair televise her wedding in 1993? Don't ask me to repeat that question. Answer? Tammy Faye Baker. All right, I'm going to skip this one. This one's not funny. Whoa. What biblical place name means pleasure? Answer? Eden. And what church raised millions? Oh, I'm sorry. What church raised millions selling members electropsychometer lie detectors? Oh, this is going to be good. Somebody will get it. The Church of Scientology. All right, a couple of more. Which food was rationed after World War II ended, but not during the war? The answer? Bread. And condensed milk was invented by whom? Gail Borden. All right, well, let me see. That's not a real good one to end on. Let me find a good one to end on. Okay, how about this one? According to legend, who was King Arthur's wife? Over there? Over here? Guinevere. Thought you would have known that one. I did, because it's right here. All right. Well, anyway, hope you enjoyed it and hope you got some of those right. So, I've got a special guest on the program today. It's Courtney Chenault. She's the librarian at Remington Elementary School. And so, she's still working because she does video interaction with her students. So I said, hey, come on over here and do something that you would do with your students. It's kind of a fun game. So come on over and I'll move out and let her move in, and she can do her little program. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Hi, everybody. I sure do miss y'all. Okay, so one of the things I do with my students is we do random jokes of the day. So, I have a few jokes for you. So, we're going to start with some knock-knock jokes, and I have to put my glasses on so I can see them. So, here you go. First one. Knock-knock. Who's there? Tick. Tick who? Tick 'em up. This is a robbery. Forgot my little thing. Come on, laugh, everybody.
Okay, you better do this.
Yeah, you know how to do
it. I'll just help you out.
Is that better? No, you just got it. That's okay. Okay, that was the first one. Oh, you're still laughing. Okay, knock knock. Who's there? Dozen. Dozen who? Doesn't anyone know how to open the door? I got one laugh out of that one, but that's good. Okay, knock knock. Who's there? Wooden shoe. Wooden shoe who? Wouldn't you like to know?
That's all you got.
Crickets. I thought that was a funny one. Okay, last knock knock joke. Knock knock. Who's there? Norma Lee. Norma Lee who? Normally, I'd ring the doorbell. Now, I heard on the news this morning they were talking about possibly having a shortened baseball season and that fans wouldn't get to go, but at least we could watch it on TV. So, I thought, great time for baseball jokes. So.
You're up!
Am I done?
No.
Oh.
That was just a baseball
joke.
Joke.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. Why did the baseball player feel like garbage? Because he got thrown out at home plate. That was a good one. I like that one. What are the best kinds of shoes to wear for stealing bases? Sneakers. I thought that one was really good. Okay, fine. Let's try another one. What was the voice? Why was the voice teacher so good at baseball? She had perfect pitch. I'm so glad you like that one. Which baseball player do you need when you make lemonade? I bet you can guess this one. The pitcher. Good job. What kind of dishes do catchers use? Home plates.
Whoa.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the joke about the fast pitch? Never mind, you just missed it. How many more would you like? Okay. So. Oh, already read that one. Let me scooch over here. Hold on one second. Okay, I'm gonna move over again.
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever seen a line drive? No, but I've seen a ball park.
One person.
It's okay. If it just reaches one, that's enough. What runs around the field but never wins? A fence. And last one? All right. Thank you, guys. What is the best place to put crying children? The ballpark. Get it? Oh, I went out with a bang. All right, that's it. I hope you enjoyed our random jokes of the day, and I miss y'all. Thank you to my sound effects man.
I had as much fun doing the sound effects as she did the program. Okay, let's bring up... Let's see if I get it to pop up here like it should. There we go. We've got it. Am I in the right place here, Mr. Producer? How about this? Okay. Good. And thank you so much, Courtney, for coming. That was a lot of fun. Well, the teaching today is called Resist Like the Devil. No. Resist the Devil Like Jesus. So, the first scripture is Matthew 4:1. It says, Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Oh, wait a second. It's a little different now. I've got to click it like this. Okay. Hey, how can I do this where I only have to click the little arrow? Go over here from the beginning. Kenny's helping me here.
Yes.
Right here from the beginning.
Concurrent. That'd work.
Right. And now then all I've got to do is click this little slide. Okay. All right. Sorry about that. We're kind of learning as we're going here. So that's, of course, that's the temptation of Jesus when he was in the wilderness. The devil tempted him, several temptations. And we found out the Greek word for the devil is diabolos, which means accuser, fault finder, prosecutor, slanderer. There are some others that we could use. In the Old Testament, he's Satan, which means opponent, especially Satan, the archenemy of good and life and truth. So, here's the devil's strategy. We see throughout Scripture that the devil shows up to accuse, to condemn, to pervert, to lie, to distort, to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Matthew 13, 38, 39 says, the field is the... This is Jesus giving a parable. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Wow. That lets us know some things that the devil is up to on the earth. He's sowing evil seeds. He's sowing questioning. He's sowing defamation. Did Jesus battle the devil? Now that's a good question. Because we oftentimes say Jesus battled the devil and he won. And they were, you know, like it was just a big match. Scripture does not really portray Jesus as battling the devil. When he came in contact with the demon, he just handled it very matter-of-factly. He didn't scream at him. He didn't wrestle with him. He cast out the demons with a word. He never wrestled with them. Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Oh, wait a minute. I think I just went... Oh. In John 14, it says, this is Jesus speaking of the devil, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, which means no place in me. But I do as the Father has commanded me. Wow. If we could just all react the way Jesus did to the devil and to say, I only do as the Father has commanded me. Last week I said, wouldn't it have been cool if that's what Adam would have told the serpent way back then in the beginning? I only do what the Father said. The Father said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so I'm not going to eat of that tree. He said, eat of this tree, which is the tree of life. Well, that's the proper answer. In Acts 10:38, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. See, God's not oppressing anybody. It's the devil that is oppressing, causing mayhem, for God was with him. Then in Acts 13:9, it said, but Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him, this is Elymas, and said, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy. Now, that just kind of tells you what the devil's up to and the kind of character he has. He's saying, you're actually in league and in agreement with the devil because you are the enemy of all righteousness and full of all deceit and villainy. That's what the devil is. He's the enemy of righteousness. So we don't want to cooperate with the devil at all. When he comes and tells you a lie, reject it. Don't agree with it. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God and what God says about you, then let it go. And you can tell, let's see if I'm still here. You can tell the devil, you're up. There you go. Isn't that easy to do? When he comes and knocks on the door, just kind of peep through the people. If you see it's the devil, don't open the door to him. So you don't even have to listen to him. You know what he's going to say. You know he's going to lie to you. You know he's going to take advantage of you. You know he's going to belittle and slander you. Why would you open the door to anybody like that? Somebody asked a famous preacher, I forgot who it was, does the devil go to church? He said, yes. How do you know? I have felt him there. So here's what the devil does. He gets involved with our lives this way. He exploits things that are in us that are there way back from the beginning when Adam made their choice, the wrong choice. Adam and Eve made the wrong choice in the garden. They ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So now the devil just exploits everything that's in them, which is pride, gossip, negativity, slander, unforgiveness, anger, unworthy feelings, revenge, perversion, and lies. Well, that's the devil's territory right there. Well, here's how to handle it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's it. That's what Jesus did 24/7, all the time. He walked in true humility, which meant submitted to his heavenly Father. And that's the one thing the devil can't exploit, is humility. A truly humble person is submitted to God. That's how Jesus resisted the devil, every temptation that he had. So, there he is right there. He's got his red flannel suit on. What the devil is trying to do with people from the beginning all the way up through today is to convince them that he does not exist, or that he's nothing more than a cartoon character in a red suit poking people with a pitchfork. So the devil, however, on the other hand, how he actually appears is to be sharp, to be dapper, intelligent, hip. But the devil's a liar, a hypocrite, and a deceiver. That's his character, not his appearance. So don't go by the devil's appearance. He's not going to show up at your door with a red suit and horns and his pitchfork. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Well, right there, there's your contrast right there. What does the devil want to do in our life? Not to bless us, not to prosper us, but to steal and kill and destroy. And what's Jesus' ministry? What will Jesus do for us? He wants to give us life and life abundantly. Here's something to think about the authority that Satan has, or the power that he has. When he started exercising power, he was actually using power that God had given Adam. Authority that God had given Adam. You see, authority on the earth belongs to people, not to a spirit. So he was lying when he told Jesus, "They are mine to give." I'm talking about the kingdoms of the world. This is my thought on that. This is my opinion. He was lying to them. A spiritual entity has no authority on the earth. Humans do. So Satan is actually operating on human authority. He can exploit and pervert human authority and human tendencies. So the devil will, for instance, how about this application here? The devil will come and tell you, "You can't do that. You'll never go anywhere. You'll never get any better. Well, your father was that way. That's why you're that way. You don't have what it takes." How about this one? "People don't like you." So, has the devil lied to you with some of those things? Here's some others he might have said. "You're too old. You're a hypocrite. You're no good. God doesn't love you. Nothing special about you." What are we going to do with the devil when he comes tempting us and lying to us about those things? You might say, "Well, you know what? Some of them are true." Wait a minute. No, they're not true. What's true is what God says about you. Jesus never treated anybody that he came across that way. He never belittled them. He never condemned them. He never judged them. He was there to save the world, not to judge the world. Ephesians 6:16 says, "Take up the shield of faith, and you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Okay, there you go. So what might those arrows, those flaming darts, be? Well, it's almost always the same. Accusation, condemnation, give up. You're unworthy, hypocrite, loser, and the list goes on and on. So here's the thing. Did Jesus ever shout at the devil? Did Jesus ever start crying because the devil accused him? No. You know, people accuse Jesus of being the devil himself. Don't shout at the devil. Use your shield. So your shield is your faith in God and His promises. By this you know you are forgiven, accepted, healed, valued, and loved. So when the devil comes lying to you, accusing you, condemning you, just hold up your hand and say, stop right there. I'm forgiven, I'm accepted, I'm healed, I'm valued, I'm anointed, I'm loved. And the list goes on and on with what God thinks about you. You are a child of God. All right, it's time for our prayer together. So if you would like to, pray this along with me. Thank you, Lord, that in Christ the devil is defeated, powerless, and without authority. We can walk in that victory with full assurance that it is complete and final. Remind me to stand in the full armor of God and stay submitted to God and His Word through Christ our Lord. Amen. So that's a powerful prayer. If you prayed that along, it's important to pray it, not just read it, pray it out loud and save it and pray it at other times during the week. So thank you so much for tuning in. We're glad you did. We'll be on again. Lots of exciting things going on here. Things changing with the virus and things that we're finding out about it. So hopefully we'll be able to get together again soon in person. So until then, there you are. Here I am. And we'll just communicate that way. So God bless you for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time.